The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. Coming up on today's show, I'm going to chat with queer comic artist Katie Diamond, who'll join me in the next segment. But first, I've got two special guests. Sex and relationship expert Reed Mahalko of readaboutsex.com helps adults learn how to understand their lovers' bodies and be better communicators so they can create more self-esteem, self-confidence, and greater health in their relationships and sex lives. He is a very busy guy, and one of the things he's about to do is be the keynote speaker for an upcoming event called A Touch of Flavor. Cassie Fuller is the co-owner and organizer of A Touch of Flavor, and she is also a kink educator who presents on topics like non-monogamy, sexual techniques, and how to keep your sex life healthy after kids. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Reed and Cassie.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Cassie, so tell me all about A Touch of Flavor.
Well, Touch of Flavor was designed to teach our attendees the knowledge and skills they need to make their fantasies a reality. We're having this event in Baltimore the July 4th weekend, and during that time we're going to have 4 days of classes with topics ranging from tantra to bondage, role play, really a collage of all different kinds of sexual possibilities to explore. And during that time, we'll also have socials and parties. And, of course, Reed will be doing our keynote speech on consent.
And, Reed, in honor of having you back on the show, you know, you are the most popular guest I've ever had on my show. This is like no one's been on my show more than you. I picked a special listener question, which I think you'll like, for Ask Tristan. And this comes to me from someone named FM. He says, "Dear Tristan, my wife and I started having threesomes with a male friend of ours some years ago. Everything worked out really well. There was no jealousy. There was good sex. There was lots of laughs. Whether we were both pleasuring her together or they were going at it alone, watching her like that was and is the most beautiful, sexy, erotic thing I've ever seen. After a few years of occasional meetings, she began to shy away from it, and now it's been several years since we last had a threesome. And she says that although she enjoyed them, in the days and weeks following, she had feelings of guilt and felt like she was a slut. This is all very surprising and confusing, as she's a highly educated, empowered, strong woman. While she agrees in theory that there's nothing wrong with a threesome between consenting adults, et cetera, she still feels poorly about herself after doing it. Unfortunately, it seems that although women can be sexually free on an intellectual level, once she actually does these things, the voice of our repressive society starts whispering, 'You're a slut,' in her head. Do you have any words of wisdom that can help not just silence the whispers, but eradicate the idea that there is such a thing as being a slut?
Wow, that's a great question. Well, I mean, first thing, just, you know, for FM and for everybody who's listening, I identify as a slut. I'm very promiscuous. And, you know, people come all the time and they're like, you know, how do you deal with shame and all that? And the truth of the matter is, like, I still have a lot of sexual shame come up in my life. And in a geeky way, what I end up doing is, you know, I kind of come with ideas and ways to, like, could I be more ashamed of doing, or for me, the way it comes out is like, you know, what do I think no one could possibly love me for if I desired this or wanted that or did that? And so, you know, I'm just letting listeners know out there that, like, even for me, as slutty and as happy of a slut as I am, I still have shame come up all the time, which I think is really just a testament to, you know, the amount of cultural programming and sexual negativity that we have and how pleasure negative our culture is. Mm-hmm. So to just, like, you know, for FM to understand, like, you know, like, if Reed Mahalko's still dealing with shame, I think it's okay, you know, that anyone has to deal with shame. And do you have the tools and the desire, like, if you really want to be able to have your, you know, explore your fantasies, have the sex life that you want, and then when shame comes up, just really notice that, oh, that's all cultural baggage, and that's really actually not about me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so the question, that, like, that would be the first piece there. And not, it's not everybody's calling in life to walk into their shame all the time. And, you know, so that your wife or your partner or your husband may not actually, you know, that was a nice experiment and fun, and they're kind of complete on that. I'm curious if they had kids in between, because I have worked with couples who, once they have kids, there's this whole other thing that comes up about, you know, we could be adventuresome and slutty before we had kids, but now we have to be grown up and mature and proper, which, again, is just culture.
Right.
Telling you.
Yeah. I mean, Cassie, what do you think as a woman about, you know, all of this programming around us feeling like we're sluts if we do this stuff?
Well, it's really a shame because society has put that on us. I mean, you hear guys say, I've had a threesome, or I've been in an orgy with five girls, and they get this hero, you know, kind of backing, you know, yeah, man, that's awesome. But if a girl does that, then suddenly she's a slut. And I kind of feel as though us as women really need to kind of own that word and take it back. Like, you know what, I am a slut, and I do enjoy what I do, and I'm happy with what I do. And the fact that FM is so supportive of his wife, like, I feel like that should be an empowerment to her, that she is loved so much that he's happy to see her explore and do things that, you know, physically please her. So I really feel as though a lot of it comes down to, you know, education, is teaching yourself to walk through this and understand that there are other people out there who are going to be accepting.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is you've just got to kind of deprogram yourself. And I think being around other people, being around peers who can model that for you and say, I've embraced this part of myself. And then also check in and have support. You know, maybe go to something like A Touch of Flavor, eyes wide open, you know, feeling really conscious and aware. And if the feelings come up later afterwards, be able to check in with friends who can say, you know what, that's like, that's that old tape that's playing in your head, but you can change it.
And another interesting part of day, like, there's nothing wrong. And I think because of the sex negativity, pure negativity of society, or and make a reality, you know, some of your fantasies, and you have shame.
Well, Reed is breaking up, and so I think we're going to have to take a commercial, but here's the thing. You can hear Reed talk about this and consent and sex positivity at A Touch of Flavor, which is happening in Baltimore, July 4th to the 7th. Go to atouchofflavor.com to find out more. Thanks to both of you for being on the show. And stay with us, because next up, I'm going to talk to artist Katie Diamond about what it means to illustrate sex. So don't go anywhere.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423. Or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Sport Sheets is the sex toy company that's been keeping couples connected for over 20 years. Their fantasy restraint and sex toy products redefine sexual adventure. From bondage and sexual positioning to strap-ons and role play, Sport Sheets makes a toy for everyone's taste and budget. So go treat yourself to something from Sport Sheets, available wherever great sex products are sold.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I'm really excited to talk to this person today because I have collaborated with her on many a project, and yet I feel like not the entire world knows who she is, and they should. Let me tell you a little bit about who I'm talking about. Katie Diamond is a radical queer comic artist and graphic designer. She graduated from the Maine College of Art with a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Illustration, where she got the nickname Megaphone because of her extensive community activism. She strongly believes in the direct crossover of art and politics and uses this dogma in her everyday art practice. She has created many illustrations and cartoons about gender, sexuality, and sex education, and has designed a multitude of promotional materials for various local organizations. She is the publisher and editor of the queer feminist sex magazine, Salacious, and her comic collaboration with queer performer Johnny Blazes is featured in the Lambda Literary Award-winning anthology, Gender Outlaws, The Next Generation. Incidentally, she was also named International Ms. Bootblack in April 2011. So she's also a leather title holder. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Katie.
Oh, hello. Happy to be here.
And you're here in the studio at the Sex Out Loud Studios, which is kind of exciting.
It is really exciting. I'm here at HQ.
I guess I want to start with Salacious.
Sure.
Which is how many people may know you, because this is a super radical, amazing feminist porno magazine.
I hope it is.
And it came about in a time when so-called old media is really dying, or so the media keeps telling us. But you decided to start this magazine. Why?
Well, There were many reasons. The first of all, the biggest one being that I feel very strongly that I love sexy imagery and I love erotica, but I especially love being able to sit with it for a really long time, individual pictures and illustrations and the same amount of time that it takes for that image to be created. I wanted people to sit with it. I don't personally respond really strongly to video pornography and like video smut. I love it. But what really gets me going is the well-crafted artistry of an illustration, a sex illustration. And I went around and started polling people, you know, have you ever seen sort of a fusion magazine, current magazine that covered like what it means to be queer and feminist and has all the right politics, you know, and is super hot, sort of like the sex literary magazine. And a lot of people had said they hadn't seen something that was that extensive and had that level of depth and was current.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of forebearers, Honor Backs being one of them. Mm-hmm. Bad Attitude is a huge influence on me.
Frighten the Horses was another good
also
one.
Also good, also yeah. good.
Brat Attack,
so good, so good. And what struck me about a lot of those magazines is that they had the occasional illustration, but my main focus was illustrated stories. I wanted people to have an illustrated story. And so after picking people's brains for a little bit, I decided I'm just going to go for it. And that was how it started. Tom of Finland, also a really huge reference. There's a huge history of illustration in gay male erotica and gay male porn, and Drummer magazine has a lot of illustration and sequential art that's supposed to titillate. But I wanted something that had a queer focus.
And you've come out with several issues. It's primarily funded by advertising and direct sales. Is that right?
That is true. To be really honest, we've only had a handful of paid advertising. It's a lot of trades, which really makes me excited because I prefer we all, that's the basis of my feminist politic is that I want us all to take care of each other. And Pink and White Productions, huge supporter, you yourself, huge supporter. So it's the trade is what makes Salacious live. And then, a lot of donors, actually, people that are monthly donors who get kickbacks, who get art and notes from us. We've been in a little bit of a hiatus the last year, but people still are donating on a monthly basis. And every week, someone's buying something off of the website. So it's not like we've gone into complete hiding. We're just in a brief pause before we can figure out what to do next.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing people may not know about you is I consider you the sort of illustrator to the sex ed stars. You are the heir apparent to the incredible once Bay Area based illustrator Fish, who was behind Brat Attack.
And which is an honor.
Has illustrated many of the illustrations you see in any of my sex books are done by Fish, but you've really taken the torch. You did all the illustrations. They were original illustrations for The Ultimate Guide to Kink.
Yes.
And then now I've seen you pop up in The Ultimate Guide to Prostate Play. I have seen you in Mark and Patricia's book.
Oh, yes. That book's getting a lot of
Partners in Passion. Yeah. And so what is it like, though? I mean, how does it set things apart to be able to illustrate sex? Like, is it more difficult? Is it easier? Is it more fun? What is it like to be an illustrator of sexy things and sexy bodies and doing sexy things to each other?
Oh my gosh. Well, it's great, but it is a challenge because I want to do my absolute best to represent a diverse range of bodies and races and types and sex, you know. I want to represent real life. And I want to do so in a way that's really clear. I want to do so in a way that's really sexy. And sometimes you can't be all of those things. Sometimes you can't have the real life representation, this is who real people are, and also show this is what a vagina looks like, this is what a cunt looks like, and also show how bodies fit together. You know, if it was up to me, you know, a lot of, I think, I'll use Mark and Patricia as a really good example. They explicitly hired me because they wanted to make sure that their illustrations were diverse and represented different types of bodies, you know, big, small, all the different kinds going on. But it can be difficult when you want to show how body parts mash together for the sake of illustration, to literally illustrate a point. It can be hard to stick by that because, especially if you're working in a black and white printing press and maybe it's only black line on
it's
a white
line
paper.
Drawings,
it's
right.
just a line drawing. You need to figure out the nuance, which is something I think about every minute, the nuance of how to show something clearly, but also show the complexity of humans and how they look.
Did you always think that you would be this when you grew up?
I wanted to be. I mean, it's funny. I've always wanted to draw. I've always wanted to be an artist. There was a while where I was sort of obsessed with the idea of working for Marvel. And then realized that while I love illustrating comics and I'm very good at it, I really prefer how illustrations and text play on a page. And I've used sequential art, you know, when it's time to show, I think in The Ultimate Guide to Kink, it's a really good example, Midori's chapter where it's sort of sequential knot tying. I feel like I'm good at telling that story sequentially, but.
This is a great example because Midori is an exceptional writer and a teacher, but it's an example of when the writing and the words also need this other visual element
yeah.
to try to explain what it means to do these bondage knots and
yeah.
these different knots that she talks about and these different ways of tying people up and their body position and where the rope is and how the rope is tied. And there is something that's like so clarifying to me when I just read bondage instruction, I'll admit I get a little lost.
Yeah.
So there's something so clarifying when it's like, look, step A looks like this. Step
exactly.
B looks like this. I mean, it really helps. I think you kind of learn. I mean, bondage is a great example of that.
Yeah.
I think that there's some, you know, there's some intricacies and stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even, you know, I'm at the anatomical explanation of where your bits are at, what's happening inside of you. But also, you know, with the book I'm currently working on with Allison Moon, Girl Sex 101, when we're working on that together, that has been a very interesting challenge because the illustrations are doing this thing where they're explaining what's happening. You know, this is the position if you want to hit this in a certain way. And then there are illustrations that the point is to emphasize the text. So maybe there's a story about someone's first date and what it's like to flirt. And instead I'm sort of drawing on the abstraction of that.
Mm.
And so balancing okay, this is an educational illustration, so it has to be really clear, versus this is sort of a fun illustration, so it's supposed to emphasize, like, it's supposed to make you want to read that paragraph that it's next to. And where do the two of them meet, really? Which is, I think, another nuance to sort of figure out. So that people are interested in what they're reading, but they're not distracted by the illustrations. The text and the illustrations create like a pyramid. They rely on each other.
Right, right. And do you find some of this stuff where you don't necessarily need to be strictly educational more fun? Is it more fun to just show sexy queer people flirting than it is sexy queer people like fisting each other? Or is it the same?
I mean, I think, you know, there's something to be said when you decide here, the thing about being, I often call myself a cartoonist more than a comic artist, like even more than an illustrator, because what I'm doing is I'm looking at life and I'm interpreting it visually. And so that interpretation is what leaves room for some things that are funny, but you can't get the anatomy wrong, especially if you're educating someone.
Mm-hmm.
So having two people sitting over coffee, giving each other love eyes is actually very easy to illustrate because there's no mistakes to be made, really. Like they're sitting at a table and that's that. But I find that I need really good reference if someone wants me to show how people fit together, or how hands should be doing something, or, you know, what sort of toy you're actually using. Otherwise I have to extrapolate, and, you know, drawing from life, you know, that is the key to good illustration, is you should really be drawing from reference. So that, I mean, the flip side is I get to tell people, so can I get a photo of this? I just the other week sent Allie an email that said, I'm going to need some photo reference for this whole hand sex chapter. I'm not quite sure what positions you're going to need. And it wasn't me being creepy. I actually do want to know what, when she describes it in the text, can she send me an actual snapshot so that I'm not making up what a hand looks like. I can right. actually use
No,
it.
And I can remember, as you say this, what this calls to mind is when we did the second edition of The Ultimate Guide to Anal Sex, mm-hmm. I wanted to do how to make a butt plug harness out of bondage tape.
Yeah.
And so Colton and I got together and did these like step one, step two, step three, step four photos yeah. of me with a butt plug in, with a butt plug harness, making yep. it out of tape. And then we sent those to the illustrator who then illustrated them.
Exactly.
So that's the kind of stuff you need.
That's what Midori had to do for her chapter as well. She actually took a paper towel roll and some rope and took step one, step two, step, like, here's the fold, here's this next fold, here's this other fold. Mm. And then I was able to just focus on how does the rope actually fit around a thigh. And then I could... That's the joy of being a cartoonist, is that I then put the person inside the rope. Mm-hmm. I could see, okay, well, now I know, and now if I do some tests with what material will pull where, I can draw knowing how the rope fits and knowing what I know about anatomy, I can put these two things together. It doesn't always have to be direct, but the more direct it can be, the better, because there's little room for error.
Okay, we're going to take a break and hear from our fantastic sponsors. But when we get back from our break, I want to hear more about what it's like to illustrate sex. I love that idea. And some of these events that you have live illustrated, I want to hear about that. And I want to hear more about Girl Sex 101. So all of that and more is coming up with Katie Diamond. Stay put. Don't go anywhere. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe, share the pleasure.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. Right before the break, we were talking about drawing all these sexy things, including sex toys. And if you want to see the best selection of sex toys with exceptional customer service and a long history of amazing community activism, why don't you check out one of my sponsors, Good Vibrations? Go to goodvibes.com, get plenty of sex education as well as high quality products, and you can use coupon code Tristan for 15% off your order, goodvibes.com. So I'm talking today with Katie Diamond, who is a queer comic, artist, illustrator. You're also a publisher and editor. So I want to go back to something you started to talk about before the break, which is this book, Girl Sex 101. So tell me about how this came about, what this collaboration is like, and what the book is going to be like.
Great. So I was approached last August of 2013 by Allison Moon, who actually teaches a class called Girl Sex 101, How to Drive a Vulva.
So her like driver's ed. It's like driver's ed.
But it's like driver's ed.
But for vulvas.
But for vulvas. And she wanted to go all out and make like a big, thick Girl Sex 101 book. And the structure of the book, there's a fiction story that kicks off each chapter. Mm. And then the following chapter is written by Allie and then has several experts that are giving their opinion, you being one of them, mm-hmm. About whatever you read in the fiction. And it's supposed to read like a tongue-in-cheek driver's manual. So, for instance, you know, checking under the hood, cunnilingus, is one of the chapters.
Right.
So it's fun. The whole point is to have fun. And I've never really experienced a book where it's about fiction meets education meets experts meets cute illustration. Like it's a nice sort of whirlwind of all of my favorite things. And so after we created the structure and really sort of talked about what we wanted the meat of the book to be, which is very driven by Allie, mm-hmm. We kickstarted it. And we managed to go beyond our goal within the first 10 days and raise more than twice as much money as we wanted. We wanted like 13 just for the sake of paying people and getting it published. And we managed to raise like 27. So that is $27,000.
Not
$27.
Not $27. It's $27,000, which is fantastic.
It's great. Everyone's going to get paid a little more. We're going to be able to print the book in different ways. Like we, rather than keep it to just one tone color, we're actually going to have multiple colors. Like each chapter, I'm trying my best to make each chapter color coded by the hanky code where appropriate. So for instance, hand sex is red because fisting.
Fisting, right. Yeah. So I love it. Anal sex can be blue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anal sex is blue. The strap-on chapter right now is a nice pink. Like everything is supposed to be somehow. The identity chapter is orange. You know, it's tongue in cheek. It's the whole point is to subtly sneak in tons of things. So, because writing a book and illustrating a book, as you also know, takes a really long time, especially when there are lots of people involved, mm-hmm. and there isn't really a model for how it's going to completely fit together. Because I'm laying out the book as well as illustrating it, which is great because it means I get to really decide as I'm working and as I'm doing layout, I get to decide like where should we really draw a lot of attention. You know, there's notes from Allie like, oh, here are all the hand positions for hand sex, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. an explanation and sort of all these other things.
Right.
But I get to sort of create, it's like creating a whole new language. When you're designing a book, there's a taxonomy for how you engage with the page. And when there's illustrations and headers and call-outs and little educational bits that you want to pay attention to, you sort of have to decide what is your language for how the book looks. And so I've been doing that from scratch.
And this is a huge piece, I think, that people don't realize. And having written and published a whole bunch of books, you know, there are times when the first round of design that's been sent to me by the publisher, the design is so bad, it actually makes the book harder to read.
Yes.
Whereas a good design can make it so visually interesting that it moves you through it quicker. You feel like you've got the really important pieces highlighted for you. You feel like someone really thought about it.
Yeah.
You know, really went step by step and said, what are we trying to emphasize here? And I feel like, especially in this day and age, with everything being kind of like shorter and everyone's attention span being shorter, I feel like it is important to design something so that it's ultimately readable.
Yeah, absolutely. That is so that is my own. You've given exactly the words to what I need something to look like. And the way that I lay out Salacious and the way that I lay out Girl Sex or any project that I'm doing a lot of book layout on is I want to think about how are people engaging with an individual sentence?
Mm-hmm.
How are people engaging with a paragraph? How is the illustration on that page or for that paragraph enticing people? And then how do they deal with the page? And then how do they deal with it when they're holding it open and looking at both like the spread of the book?
Mm-hmm.
And when they turn the page, what's happening next for them? So there's a lot of thoughtfulness that goes into that. And I find myself laying out one chapter takes 3 or 4 days, even if the chapter's only 10 pages. Because what I'm doing is looking at how, okay, so besides applying the language, because you need consistency, which is a lot of things that people don't consider. So whenever I have a list of things, if I bullet point everything, I need to make sure everything is still bullet pointed. Mm-hmm. In addition to making sure that there's enough space for the illustration. You can read it. It doesn't look like there's so much text on the page that you're sort of losing your mind. Mm-hmm. Where can I bold an important sentence? So it's a lot of using a micro and a macro examination of how you engage with information.
Well, and the other question I think that's sort of fundamental to this, which I'm wondering what you think about is, do you think that when it comes to sex, we need images?
Yes.
Why?
I think we're visually oriented. Humans are visually oriented. And I think that, you know, different parts of our brain activate depending on what we're, you know, whether we're listening or reading. And I think that what illustrations do, specifically illustrations, is that they're taking complex information more so than a photo, and they're creating a reflection back at us that is simple enough for us to understand and also simple enough for us to relate to. Because if you show me a photo of two people doing something, I might understand what's happening. I might be aroused by what's happening, but I may not be able to place myself in that particular space because those people don't look like me. I've never been there. I can't relate. Whereas illustration is lifting all of the heart of what's happening and displaying it simply, which is very much, Scott McCloud has a book called Understanding Comics, which by this point it's almost 20 years old, but I would tell any creative person to read it. And he talks about the fact that we, as humans, we place our identities on things. It's this sort of this narcissistic need, not in a bad way, that, you know, you look at, you know, a socket, an electrical socket, and you see eyes and mouth.
Mm.
And that simplicity is we want to see ourselves everywhere. And he goes into the psychology of it, which I think is very interesting, where, you know, as I'm speaking to you right now, I don't actually know what the photographic image of my face looks like. I have sort of a map of what my eyebrows are doing, how I'm moving my mouth, how I move. And I essentially have a cartoon of myself in my mind. That's how we understand ourselves. And so when we see ourselves reflected back, the more simply we can see that, the more we can relate to it.
Mm.
Which is why cartoons as a means to talk about complex subject matter.
Like sex.
You know, like Marjane Satrapi's Persepolis, which dealt with the Iranian Revolution. That became an international bestseller.
Mm-hmm.
Art Spiegelman's Mouse. There's something to be said for there are these really heavy topics that we can now talk about universally, because that's the other thing, is that illustrations are not with language. Somebody who speaks any language can look at that illustration and comprehend what's happening. And so I think that's the other reason why something as complex as sex and sexuality, showing it in illustration is the real way to get to the heart of the matter and get to the nuance of it.
So that makes sense to me. But then my question is, how do you get someone off? How do you turn someone on? With black and white lines, with lines. And once you're out of this sort of photographic image and you've simplified it so much, how is it that there are some people who just love comics and there are some people who love really dirty comics and mm-hmm. that's what turns mm-hmm. them on?
Yeah.
How do you explain that? If like you're universalizing it so much that you're kind of you don't have something to necessarily sort of grab onto.
Well, I think that's where, to go back to what I was saying earlier, that's where I begin to sort of like, I could write books and books and books on everything we're talking about and still not come to the exact conclusion, because I think that the exact point where it is simple enough for me to feel really connected to it, but complex enough so that I am getting a boner from it, is where the fine line is. And, you know, I think it's why I consistently go back to how illustrations engage with text. But even, you know, one of the other most successful projects on Kickstarter is this project called Smut Peddler. Have you heard of Smut Peddler?
No, I haven't.
Smut Peddler is, it started off as sort of like a sexy zine with a handful of artists. And then the person who's coordinating that zine, this woman, Iron Spike, is what she goes by, decided, oh, well, let's actually publish it and add a bunch of more artists and, you know, whatever. And it raised close to $1 million. She wanted like 40K. And then they got Ernest & Young.
Well, they have a good name, too, just to be fair.
Smut Peddler is a brilliant name.
Exceptional, yes.
And it's only sex comics. Black and white sex comics. That's it. And it's amazing. And part of it is that it's sequential. Because I would argue that what I'm doing is I'm placing illustrations with text for the sake of getting people a little aroused, but just aroused enough they're like, I want to try what I'm reading about. Whereas Smut Peddler is sequential art with the intention to get you off.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally puddling smut, which is
right.
So great.
right.
Smut Peddler. And so that's also where Salacious comes in. You know, I wanted Salacious to originally just be comic art.
You did? Okay. Did you, when you first conceptualized
it? When I first conceived it, I wanted just to be comics, but you know, so many people submitted so many good written pieces that I didn't feel like I could say no. I was like, I love what people are submitting here.
Whoa.
I loved it, and I didn't feel like I could strip away those pieces into just being scripts to then become comics, because it's an interpretation. Like, I could have told an artist, oh, interpret this piece and make it entirely a comic.
Yeah.
But people's prose were so good, I couldn't keep it away, so I decided I was just going to combine it all.
Mm-hmm.
And some people did comics, and some people did erotica, and some people just did, you know, their own illustrated pinups or photos. A lot of people do sequential photo sequences, which I really appreciate when you're sort of like building, you're telling a story just with the photos. Mm-hmm. So that to me is also sequential art, just not illustrated.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm not sure if that entirely answers your question. I guess what it is it depends on who's reading it. You know, I personally love Tom of Finland, specifically, I never know if it's pronounced cake or kake, but his cake comics are these ongoing series with no text whatsoever. It's just a full page illustration of this biker that gets into really, really, really dirty scenarios.
Right.
He gets into lots of trouble.
And there's no words needed.
Yeah.
To me, Tom of Finland, there are no words needed. It's
no.
Like, oh, it's very clear what's going on here.
Oh yeah. Why would you even bother with a speech bubble? What is someone even going to say?
Right. Or think even.
Right. I think the most is that there was one where he broke into one of my favorites. He breaks into the window of what ostensibly is a teenage boy's room. And he proceeds to, all of the Kate comics also are very much about non-consent. Like, people start off saying no, 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 or like seem like, what is this dastardly man doing to me? And then by like the second page, they're like, oh, I actually have been a faggot my whole life. I had no idea. And so it starts off with him breaking into this young boy's window and like having his way with him, and his dad walks in. The kid's dad walks in, and so he tries to jump out the window. And as the dad walks in, the only speech bubble is there's a speech bubble that says, "Father."
just to make it clear, at the door.
The stranger at the door is not yet another man to take advantage. The stranger at the door is his dad catching him. It's not his lover. That's like, I think the point of it was to be like,
clarify,
by the way, clarify, this is his dad.
Okay, we got to take another break.
We're
leaving people like right on the edge of Tom of Finland and a break-in and father and daddy issues, but you can handle it, people. I know you can. Stay with us.
We'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Enhance pleasure for you and the ones you love to love with Astroglide personal lubricants. Astroglide provides that extra oomph in creating a better and more exciting sexual experience. Astroglide's wide product range allows you to pick and choose based on personal preferences. All the products are also latex condom compatible, allowing for safer sex practices. Astroglide values the benefits of a fun and healthy sex life as part of a happier lifestyle, and so should you. For more information and a free sample, visit astroglide.com and get your sex life to blast off today.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We're talking today with artist and illustrator Katie Diamond, who is also the publisher of Salacious Magazine, an amazing feminist porn magazine with fantastic prose and illustrations and just like lots of dirty stuff. And speaking of dirty stuff, while you're doing your dirty stuff, you need some lube to do it, people. Why not use Astroglide? Astroglide has been one of my favorite go-to lubes. Their gel is so good for anal sex, and they have a brand new formula, which is the Sensitive Skin Gel. It's everything you love about the original gel, but it has no parabens, no glycerin, and it's made with all these natural ingredients like aloe vera and chamomile, which are so nice and gentle for your ass. So people, go to astroglide.com to find out more about Sensitive Skin Gel and their entire line of products. Okay, Katie Diamond.
Oh, hello.
You left us with these crazy images of Tom of Finland, which immediately like, just, you know, got my head spinning in kind of a million different directions. I wanted, though, to talk a little bit about bootblacking, if we can sort of shift gears.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because bootblacking is another passion of yours, mm-hmm. and you are, in fact, a title holder.
It is true.
You were Ms. International Bootblack.
International Ms. Bootblack.
I'm sorry, International Ms. Bootblack, which is a big, big, big deal in the leather community. Just to be fair, there's these competitions and these interviews, and it's like a whole process. They don't just like.
No, they don't just hand them out like
no,
candy.
They don't. So I was hoping if you might talk about, first of all, to listeners who may not know, what the hell bootblacking is.
Great.
And why you find it so sexy.
Great. So I like to say, you know, people are familiar with the shoe shine. Mm-hmm. They see at the airports or maybe at Grand Central Station. I like to say the boot block is the leather community's version of that, except the bootblack makes you feel shiny on the inside as well as on the outside.
Okay.
That's my little platform. And, you know, it's as technical as it is, spiritual for some people as it is sexy. For me, I came to it from sex. You know, some people come to it from a military background because you have to shine your military high shines.
Mm-hmm.
Some people come to it from, they want to take care of their daddy's leathers sort of deal, like out of service, which is, it's related for me, but it's also, I want to make people have hard-ons with the way that I touch them and also make their leather really nice. So it's a form of, you know, taking care of boots, taking care of, leather items, breasts, skirts, any sort of garment that you might wear, and, shining it up and keeping it conditioned and taking care of it.
And so when you do someone's boots, do you always do them while they're wearing them?
I prefer it. Yes. That is the way it should be done.
Okay. So that there's an interaction actually happening.
There's an actual interaction. Yeah.
Between you and the person wearing the boots.
Absolutely. If somebody is like in a rush and they really, you know, when I, during my title year, I was at International Mr. Leather, and one of the judges was running around and she wanted to give me a really nice tip and just have me take care of all of her gear so she looked good for the weekend. And there was no way she was going to be able to stand and wear all of it.
Or have an experience.
Exactly. Right. So she led me into her hotel room and I just took care of all of it. So that, in that case, it was very much an act of service. It made her feel good. It took care of her stuff. She looked good on stage. So that does happen, but I prefer someone to be sitting for me. I want to take care of them. I want to touch them because you can feel it. A lot of people don't realize it. If you haven't had your shoes shined, if you hadn't had a boot blacking, you can feel everything that I'm doing to you through your boots.
Mm-hmm.
You feel the way my hands touch you. You can feel the coolness of any water I use, any materials. You can smell it and feel it. So it's sort of like a leather spa. You know, your leather's being taken care of, and you're sort of getting, you know, your own little leather pedicure.
Mm-hmm.
That's happening. So,
mm-hmm. And what does it mean to you to have done this entire year as a title holder? What does it mean to be International Ms. Boot Black? To you, obviously it means something different to everyone.
Totally. For me, I would say that for me, it was very much about education. It really helped me understand how my leather community works on an international level. And it also meant that I got to meet and engage with people that I would have never had a chance to meet, and sort of spread a little bit of the bootblack gospel as a woman who's doing this. You know, that is also, it's still very new to the women's scene and very new for queer women to be super involved in leather care and leather worship in this way. It hasn't ever been this formal.
Because it's been mostly a gay male tradition.
It is. It's got a huge history in the gay men's scene. And, you know, there was a while where it was just unheard of that a woman would even be in a leather bar doing it. You know, it's not, the history of it is very interesting. And it's, I would say it's young. It's, you know, still only in the last 25 years that women have really even started doing it. And only in the last 10 would I argue that we've had lots of femmes, like femme bootblacks,
mm-hmm.
bootblacking at bars, taking care of people. You know, it's an interesting time. It's really great.
And I know that IMSL, which is when International Ms. Leather and International Ms. Boot Black happened, mm-hmm. just happened in San Francisco.
It did, yes.
And you were there.
I was.
As a former title holder. Tell us a little bit about that event.
Well, the contest itself, the whole weekend is worth it if you want to learn anything about anything. IMSL has always been heralded as a great gateway event.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've never been to a leather event ever in your life, IMSL is the place for you. It sounds scarier than it is. Just not. Everyone's really friendly. And what I really love about the people that put on that event is that they are so dedicated to everyone's education and comfort. And you can be someone who's been in the leather scene for the last 70 years, or you can be 7 minutes into it and mm-hmm. you will feel comfortable.
And it happens in San Jose.
It happens in San Jose. It used to be in San Francisco. Now it's moved to San Jose. And it's always the second or third weekend of April.
Okay, that's good to know. So
yeah.
People can plan.
They try. They already have their dates. So if you go to IMSL.org, they already have their 2015 dates ready. So you could even plan it right now.
Oh.
Or you could plan your special vacation.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are you working on a new issue of Salacious?
Here's the long story of Salacious.
Tell me.
So the second issue was supposed to be sci-fi. Mm-hmm. And we got so many things, but none of them, they were all good. But I really, we are dedicated to diverse stories. Mm-hmm. And all of the stories were very much about white people. And that's not how we roll. You need to, like, not just write about white people. We can't just have white submitters. You need to, we refuse. And so then we made it the letter issue, and then I kept pushing sci-fi out. And so now I have so many submissions to sci-fi because it's basically been an open call for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so I really want to have sci-fi launch in the fall because mm-hmm. it's already ready. And I might have a guest editor, and my board is totally on board. The board is on board. And the other, the thing that I'm considering doing, either having sci-fi launch by itself, or I might make, and by might, I mean, this is just a matter of time. I think I'm going to have a hardcover coffee table book that's a compilation of every issue of Salacious.
That sounds exciting.
Because right now you actually can't, you can only get issues 1, 2, and 3 online. They are no longer printed.
So there's no print. It's out of print.
It's out of print. These issues are out of print. You can only get them online.
So if you have one, hang on to it, people, because it sounds like it's becoming valuable.
Well, there were only 500 of issue number one. So if you have an issue number one, you have like a limited run. That's it. That's all you have.
Wow.
So I want to make a coffee table book of all the issues and compile them and have people write about what they really like about it and what my board members have felt. Because a lot of my board members have used Salacious as a platform to do other really great things because they've never been on an editorial board before. Mm. So I want to hear what they have to say about what it was like. And Erica Rand just wrote about Salacious and the Feminist Porn book for, gosh, I forget where her article was written, but.
We will put the link online.
Yeah.
Yes, she did.
She wrote this very thoughtful
piece about feminist porn.
Yeah. And, she's been doing, you know, work in the feminist porn movement for a while in New England, but that was, being on the Salacious board has been a new experience for her. So especially like she sort of identifies as like the older dyke on the board, you know what I mean? So she's our historian in a sense. So her article is really thoughtful and stuff like that, you know, compiling any reviews and people have to say. So big coffee table book.
Okay. So the next issue will be sci-fi. It will be in the fall, and then somewhere close to that will be a coffee table book that collects all.
You can get them all.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, we're out of time.
Oh my gosh, it happened so fast.
That's crazy town. Okay, people. Let me tell you, Katie's got so much work to look at, but the first place you should start is her website, katiediamond.com. You can also follow her on Twitter @KD Diamond. Letter K, letter D, Diamond. The KD Diamond. Okay? All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. You can always find me at puckerup.com and on Twitter @TristanTaramino.
I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. If you missed any part of this show and want to hear it again, you can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. You can also subscribe to it as a podcast on iTunes. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when my guest will be sexologist Logan Levkoff, the author of Got Teens, The Doctor Mom's Guide to Sexuality, Social Media, and Other Adolescent Realities. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter @SexOutLoudRadio, and in your own life. Take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.